BHH Productions presents KB Cabaret, an original variety show, with your host, Bree Harvey.
Hi, folks. Welcome to KB Cabaret. My name is Bree Harvey, head writer and producer of this show. KB Cabaret is a calabaloo of original skits, songs, poetry, and short stories. What's calabaloo, you ask? Magic, from a child's creative imagination. I was 5 when I coined that word, and it's been around my family ever since. The settings originate from my hometown, Parlor City, and the stories originate from people
Names,
who
characters,
are...
places, and incidents either are products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or locales or persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental.
Thank you, Bonnie. That, folks, obviously was my lawyer. Starring my friends, the Parlor City Players, Judy McMahon, Bonnie DeForest, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, and myself, Bree Harvey.
Welcome to our town, welcome to Parlor City, where our friends come out to play. When neighbors don't leave, they stay and chat a while. Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
This time on KB Cabaret, we're happy to feature interviews and songs with musician and poet Ken Waldman.
Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
Mornings are a special time for me. My rituals are simple. A good cup of coffee, soft classical music, and a little daily feature in our local newspaper called Advice with Granny Ada.
Dear Granny Ada, 6 months ago, I moved to a new home with my boyfriend, 3 hours away from my family and friends. We are both graduate students at the local university, so the move felt right. The house is great, the yard perfect for our dog, and the market is really close by. My problem is not the move, the house, or my boyfriend. The problem is with our neighbor, Mrs. Buttingham. She is in our face at every turn. When I was planting my rutabagas, she came outside and started some empty chatter about her cousin's boil on his left inner thigh. Gross. When I'm going out the door to walk the dog, she runs out of the house to chat about certain suspicious goings-on in Mrs. Patsman's apartment across the street. Last night, my boyfriend and I were working on a campaign project with some college friends, stuffing, labeling envelopes, when who should be knocking at my door but, you guessed it, Mrs. Buttingham, asking for a cup of sugar and sticking her head through the crack in the door, trying to see what's going on in our living room. She always wears binoculars on her neck and a camera in her pocket. What's up with that? I can only take so much, but we don't want to move. Could I have this nosy Parker arrested? Signed, No Privacy.
Dear No Privacy, how delightful, having a Mrs. Kravitz for a neighbor. What a pickle. No matter what you do, she will find a way to make her spy on your every move. She'll make holes in fences, cut down your bushes, and put her foot in the door of every crack. If she has to resort to buying stronger binoculars, she will. Here's a trick. Next time she's in your face, go up to her and tell her she's a menace to society, and she'll be reported to the proper authorities. Tell her you will press charges against her and have her arrested. Tell her this report will remain in the police files and will stain her reputation in the town forever. If she persists, call the police and write an editorial in the newspaper. This should shut her up. I could tell you to train your dog to snarl and bark every time he catches that persistent busybody scent, but perhaps that is going a little too far. You can always just ignore her. Pretend she doesn't exist. Don't answer and don't engage. Just walk away. Sooner or later, she may get tired of a non-reaction and prey on some other poor schlep for her victim du jour. Thank you for writing, and have a nice day. Granny Ada.
Open the door. Jack!
Jack, who's at the door?
Well, Clara, judging by the frantic knocking and the finger over the peephole, I'm going to guess it's Screwy Louie from down the hall.
Jack, open the door. Let me in. Hurry!
Oh, not this again. You're not going to let him in, are you?
We've been through this before, Clara. He'll never leave if I don't.
Jack, it's me, Louie. Let me
in!
Louie! What a surprise!
It's no surprise to me, Jack. I know what's going on.
You do?
Yes. Don't you hear them?
Hear what, Louie?
The voices, Jack, the voices. Can't you hear them?
The only voices I've heard today came from Clara and the TV. And, well, now you.
No, I'm talking about the ones you can only hear in your head.
Jeez, Louie. I don't know what to tell you. I never do.
Shh. Don't tell me anything. Just listen. Can you hear them now?
Can't say that I do. Maybe they...
Shh. How about now?
Nope. Still not getting anything.
Hmm.
Louie, what are the voices telling you to do?
Run.
That's it? Run? Run where?
You know, that's the odd thing about it. The voice doesn't say where.
And that's the odd thing about all this?
I came to you for clarity, Jack.
And here you are.
Look, you're the only person I know that doesn't seem to be affected by anything.
So, where do you think the voices are coming from?
Well, I'm pretty certain it's not the aliens. And my dead aunt stopped harassing me a few months ago, so I know it's not her. Could be government Wi-Fi for all I know. Oh my God. I know. Maybe it's some kind of army warfare test meant to be aimed at the enemy during a battle so they stop fighting and retreat. You know, run!
Run.
Yeah, run.
I know who the voice is.
Oh, no. Clara, no.
You know? Tell me, Clara. I need to know.
And here she goes.
Sounds to me like it's the Gump.
The what?
The Gump, Louie. The Gump. He was that crazy genius guy who ate chocolate, sold shrimp, and ran coast to coast over and over. Nobody really knows why he did anything or what happened to him. But we do know that he only speaks to the chosen ones.
I'm a chosen one?
Oh, Clara.
It's okay, Jack. He needs to know the truth.
What truth?
The Gump truth, Louie.
What's the Gump truth?
When the Gump tells you to do something, you do it. No questions asked.
Then what am I doing here? Why hasn't he told me where to run to?
That's because the Gump knows that you are incapable to fully comprehend the complexities of his message. So he sent you here for us to explain it to you. Now, Louie, think very carefully about what I am going to ask you, because the wrong answer could mean the end.
The end of what?
The end of everything as we know it, Louie.
Everything?
Focus, Louie. Focus.
Okay. I'm focused.
Now, did the Gump tell you to eat chocolate?
No.
Did he tell you to sell shrimp?
No.
Then you'd better start running.
Where?
To the coast, Louie.
Which one?
Start with the closest.
Well, what do I do when I get there?
You stop, turn around, and then run to the other coast.
And then what do I do?
Same thing. You stop, you turn around, and do it again, over and over, coast to coast, until...
Until what?
Until your beard gets about 8 to 10 inches long.
And then I can stop running?
And then you come home. Go now. Before the Gump becomes angry. Trust me, Louie. You don't want to tangle with an angry Gump.
Check my mail for me while I'm gone.
Clara, that was mean.
Aren't you just the teeniest bit curious about what Screwy Louie is going to look like when he comes back with a beard?
Sure, but that's not going to be for another 6 months or so.
You can thank me later.
I am
in studio with a very, very talented and motivated gentleman. His name is Ken Waldman, and he is part of a whole production company, which is called Nomadic Productions, and he has his own performances. He gets other bands together. He goes on tour all over the world, three quarters of the year, practically. He is the poet of Alaska, from what I have read. Welcome, Ken, to our show.
Bree, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
It is such a pleasure to have you. You are a unique talent. You play string fiddle. You have the mountain music, old American music, folk music,
sure,
bluegrass. But there's a twist to it. The music I've been listening has poetry within the song. And it's not sung, it's spoken. Where did you come up with this? I mean, is this something that you are using from old historic times? Or is this just a style that you developed?
Well, it's something that when I started playing, let's see how to put it, when I started playing fiddle in my 20s, I was not so great on the instrument. What can I say? I was playing, but I kept at it. I was stubborn. And as I kept playing, I started in North Carolina. I was in Seattle. And then I moved up to Alaska to get what they call an MFA in creative writing. And I was writing stories, fiction. And then I started writing poems. And one of the things I started writing poems about was about fiddle playing. And when I started getting better on playing fiddle and started doing live events, it made sense to combine poetry with the fiddle playing. And at first I was doing solo shows. And it's one thing to play a fiddle tune. It's another thing to do a poem about fiddle playing. But I thought it'd be better or more dynamic to do a poem about playing fiddle and then play a fiddle tune with it. And as I kept on over years, what ended up happening is I had people join me. I wrote more poems about the music, and it all kind of, 20 years on, this is what you get, you know, somebody who's traveling around and doing shows with lots of different people.
You are a writer. You're also a teacher, and you've published your poetry, have you not?
I have one of those MFA in creative writings. I have six. I guess I just had a seventh poetry collection come out. I have a memoir, kids book, and I'm trying to get published a novel, a story collection. I've had poems and stories and lots of literary journals. I mean, I think, in fact, I'm primarily a writer who also is able to play fiddle at a level that I can, record, perform, and play with people who are pretty wonderful. But it's the writing, I think, without the writing, I wouldn't be going around. But also without the fiddle, I wouldn't be going around. I have them both.
You go to schools, you travel, you tour over the country. You, as I said, you bring other talents together. You actually have square dancing as well?
Occasionally with square dancing. That's not my strength. I know people who are much better as dance fiddlers, but I do a lot of work in schools everywhere, from elementary schools and even working as young as kindergartners, first graders, but also middle schools, high schools. I'm a visiting writer at universities. So it's a mix. It depends who I meet, what their budgets are, and how we can talk about having me go, to a place and make it. The programs, especially with the schools, are interdisciplinary, both music and with the writing. It's a combination. I'm actually able on occasion to sell because it's part of the curriculum with the writing, but also with the music.
It is truly appreciated how you are diverse, but you also are a giver. I truly think that's what I would like to consider. You are a giver because you give from your soul. Any poet, any writer doesn't just write. They write from within, and it comes out through words, music, pictures, all of that, and you have it all. We're going to listen to the first song that I chose to play, which is called Tom and Sally's Waltz. I was immediately intrigued by the story that you have to tell as you are playing the fiddle. Tell us something about this song.
There's a couple that I got to know when my first few years in Alaska. I hadn't been there that long, but I was a single guy, and I go, God, here's this couple that have gotten together. Tom Kazai, who's a wonderful writer, and then Sally Kabish, who was a wonderful fiddle player. I thought, I'm doing it all myself, and here's a couple who's a writer and also a musician fiddle player who got together, got married, and in a sense, the poem and then the fiddle tune was a wedding present for them.
Hmm.
So,
that's lovely.
Came to be.
And in actuality, the poetry and the music are sort of a marriage together. So it is appropriate that you played this for them, metaphorically speaking. Let's listen to Tom and Sally's waltz.
Spot of land is made of trees, floor of dusty dark planks, stomped on by dancers as they balance and swing to a New England fiddle, soaring over a syncopated piano, the music a medley, two reels and a hornpipe. Or maybe the perfect spot of land is someone to jitterbug with, a partner who knows how to hold hands, support weight, look into eyes, who knows why. You've got to keep time to the music, that boogie-woogie bass, a clear, clean sax. Or maybe the perfect spot of land is a honeymooning couple, the first ones waltzing, starting a snowball within a solid ring of best friends. The music married to the sunlight that shines past 11 in the Alaska spring.
To hear the rest of this show, download our new KB Cabaret app. There you will be able to hear all of our new shows, our archive shows, and find the multitude of recipes that our chef extraordinaire has created just for you. You will find our app on Google Play, iTunes, Amazon, or Burberry. Just search for KB Cabaret. That's KBKABARET. We love having you stop by, and thank you for listening to KB Cabaret.